Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me. It's my pleasure, as always. I'm glad you're here. Duncan Richardson is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Duncan is an executive with a company called Eaton Vance Corporation, which is a financial services organization. Been around now for they're pushing 100 years. Not quite there, but they're getting close. I've been around since 1924, and Duncan is executive vice president there, and a very important member of that organization. Duncan, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Jim. Happy holidays.
Happy to you. Same to you, and it's good to have you here. Now, your firm is a financial services firm. That's what you. That's what it says here on the paper. But tell us exactly what that means, because that definition has changed quite a bit in the last 4 months.
That's right. That's right. We are basically an investment management organization. We manage money with mostly mutual funds, but also separate accounts for high net worth investors and institutions. So
right.
We manage both stock funds and bond funds and try to offer investment solutions for a broad range of clients. But we're not on the Wall Street side of the business.
Right. Now, in the old days, were you what we would call a stockbroker?
No, sir.
Never were a stockbroker, huh?
We offer our services through financial advisors and planners.
Right. I got you.
So they're our customers. We typically feel that the financial advisor is in a good situation to assess what the individual investor needs.
So yeah, exactly. So your financial advisors and you have offices across the country.
No, we're based primarily in Boston.
We have just in the Boston area.
Affiliate managers, yeah.
Okay,
our investment team is here, but we have wholesalers and sales representatives.
Right.
Travel around to various.
I got you now. I understand the model. All right, I understand the model better now. And I'm familiar with that model. So, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on lately. I'm thinking about converting my media company into a bank holding organization, so I can tap into the some of this TARP money. What do you think? What are my chances?
Well, it's been quite a year, hasn't it? I don't know if you know, Jim,
yeah.
But this is the Chinese year of the rat.
Hey, well, you're right, and I'll tell you something else.
I'm not sure what we expected in the year of the rat.
Well, you know, the first of the year, January, around the first week of January, I told my audience, I warned them, I said, folks, as I look at the politics and the global economy, I said, I think this is a year we're going to be living the Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times.
That's come to pass,
hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been certainly the scale of this credit cycle has exceeded all those before, but a lot of things rhyme with the past, and I think history is helpful in trying to figure out where we are now. It's been just a disastrous year for the stock market, but
right.
That really tops the dreary decade. If you think about the 10-year
mm-hmm.
return for stocks, it very rarely is negative.
The strategy of buy and hold has not been this not been a good decade for that strategy, has it?
Well, that's right. And a lot of investors' experience in the market depends on their entry point. And you would have picked exactly the worst entry point, really, of the century, if you would have put all your money in equities 10 years ago.
Yeah.
How about even
this year?
Well, yeah, but this year we sort of retraced the path. But if you sort of step back and look at long cycles, the good news is that we've already experienced a decline in equities, even over a 10-year period, that's as bad as it's ever been. And that
mm-hmm.
is including 1929 to 1939.
Wow.
So the good news is we're still alive after that. The bad news is that it was that bad. The good news is that the market is discounting a lot of bad news.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what creates the opportunity, we think.
Well, you know, one of the things that small business owners have been guilty of doing for a long, long time Duncan, is when we have any extra money, it really we really don't have it because our business is thirsty for it. Our business is like a sponge for capital. There's always somewhere to put the money. If we ever actually, you know, make a profit, have any extra cash, there's always more inventory to buy, another training program to buy, another employee that we need. There's something, some opportunity that we see that we think will help us grow our business. So it's really difficult for small business owners to earn enough money to feed their company and have their own investment strategy.
Right. Yeah,
I'm sure you've run into that many times.
Sure, there's a real trade-off there. And you really do want, and we want to see that because of the job creation that it has,
right,
and that beneficial effect on the economy. So one of the encouraging things out there, I mean, there's a couple of reasons to be kind of encouraged about the equity market. And it appears to me that the incoming administration is making all the right moves. And
give us an example.
Well, They've taken away this notion that there's going to be a dead period in here in the interregnum between
right,
administrations. And
they're going to
so
hit the ground running, aren't they?
They're hitting the ground running. They're being very visible. The Fed is as well in trying to lay out a game plan. And the nice thing is that Bernanke is a real student of the Depression. That's the battle we're
right,
fighting now. And he's really laid out the game plan. And this week was another implementation of those steps. The market really
yet another unprecedented thing in our lives.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think market was anticipating, I think, the moving to nearly a zero interest rate environment, and Bernanke and others have laid out that doesn't mean we're out of firepower in terms of stimulating the economy.
Ten years ago, this would have been a cause for panic, wouldn't it? Because if they'd cut rates this low without having identified any other tools.
Well, you'd be worrying about inflation. It's interesting. A colleague put a Time magazine article dated December 9th, 1974 in front of me, and the title was Gloomy Holidays and Worse Ahead. That was,
right,
that was a pretty tough time back then.
I was around. I was around in those days.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what we did have back then was an inflation problem. And the cutting to that's why there was some constraint on what you could do with rates, because you didn't want
right,
to stoke inflation. Here,
right,
the world has agreed that inflation, at least for the time being, is not our problem. We need to fight deflation.
I'm not sure Trichet has gotten that message, but maybe he will. But he's the European Central Bank guy over there. Going to take a quick break, folks. Duncan Richardson is going to come back with us after this break, and I'm going to ask Duncan to give us some tips on what should we be doing with the money that we have left, if we have any left, in our 201Ks or whatever. What should we be doing with our money, not only today, but in the foreseeable future? And I think he can do that. Duncan Richardson is with Eaton Vance. He and I will be right back. It's 20 after. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the mothership. And also our knowledge base, which is askjim.biz. And my blog is jimsblog.biz. I post to that blog just about every day, sometimes more than once a day. I usually a couple, three times on average a day. And so, but if you'll just remember the mothership, smallbusinessadvocate.com, that's where you can go and find everything, all the things that we do here on the show, and articles, archives, Brain Trust members, subscribe to my free newsletter there. Please do that. I think you'll like it. And, of course, you can find the blog and the knowledge base there. Duncan Richardson is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend, soon to be old friend. He is with a company called Eaton Vance. And, Duncan, why don't you give us the website there, please?
It's www.eatonvance.com.
EatonVance.com. And now, how would we be likely to run into some of your folks? Would they call on us directly? Would they drop by my office thinking that I actually had money?
No, I think that small business owners, I think most, we do surveys every year of investors, and
yeah,
many of them are small business owners, and we find that over half of people use financial advisors. And it's particularly in this year's survey, maybe it's a
right,
sign of the times, but the other half of those were considering using financial advisors
mm-hmm,
going forward. So you would run into our name through financial advisors. They do a lot of due diligence
right,
on our products and on our people and
mm-hmm,
the processes we use to invest.
Right.
That's where you'd hear about us. If you have any pension plans and that sort of thing, you'd hear about us through the consultants that also do the same kind of due diligence.
I got you. All right. So what should we do with the two nickels we have left to rub together now, Duncan? What should we do with our money?
Well, it's remember I mentioned the gloomy times in '74. There are also gloomy times in October of '02. And the thing I think that people need to remember is that the stock market tends to discount that fear. And it's right now we're thinking that the valuations are quite good. They're at multi-decade lows. After that December article in '74, even though there was continued bad news into '75, the stock market was up 41% by July of '75. And right now, we have fear levels as mm-hmm. measured by the sort of volatility that we're seeing in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. The VIX index is twice the level it was in October of '02. And by mid-year '03, the equity markets were up 30%, and by the end of the year '03, it was up 50%. So
I've been telling my audience for a long time now, I've been chasing it a little bit in the last couple of months. But for some months now, Duncan, I've been telling my audience that fortunes are not being made this year, but future fortunes are being laid this year.
And not only
in stock market, not only in equities, but in real estate. There are people who have the money, who have the ability to invest judiciously in real estate and in equities, I think. They're not making their fortunes today, but they're laying the foundation for their fortunes in the future.
Yeah, I think real estate will there are opportunities both areas. The real estate was part of the credit cycle expansion, and lending for that may be somewhat constrained going forward. So over the long haul, absolutely, there's opportunities, and certainly there's a lot of fear and loathing of real estate, but as a long-term investment, I think it makes a lot of sense. There's still maybe some of the froth to come off the bubble in some of the hotter areas of the country. But as far as the equity market goes, the fear level actually went through 40. It was down in the barely double digits just over a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the fall, September, it went through 40, which typically had been the level. Just close your eyes and buy equities.
Right.
And you'll have nearly an 18% return if you just bought
mm-hmm.
it in prior periods when it was over 40. Well, it went to 80. that gives you a sense of the and it's still up there. Let's see, yesterday it was just around 50.
Right.
And so you've had this elevate. So just you lose number of adjectives to describe it, but an unprecedented level of fear. And that's when. You know, you're probably getting close to a good entry point. You should have butterflies in your stomach on equities, but you have that. So you have that going in your favor. If you look around, you can see that a lot of people have already exited equities.
Right.
And in a contrary sense, that's probably where people are fleeing the most is probably where the greatest opportunity.
Well, they're the ones who are helping you build your future wealth.
And they're
leaving a lot of blood behind. And you know what is it? What's his name says? Says you know, when there's blood in the streets, that's when you want to be.
That's exactly when you want to be investing.
Yeah. So should small business? I mean, should small investors be focusing on mutual funds, on individual stocks? What do you think?
I think unless you have a lot of spare time on your hands, but I don't think small business owners do. You should probably go with a diversified approach and use a professional manager, whether through a mutual fund vehicle. But the key is to be diversified. And in this environment,
right.
with valuations where they are, you don't have to be extreme in the equity markets, we
mm-hmm.
think, to get excellent returns. In fact, one of the least appreciated and areas that haven't done well is large cap stocks.
Duncan, will you come back another day? You got more to teach us.
Sure.
I'm inviting you back if you'd like to do that. The company's name is Eaton Vance, eatonvance.com. Listen for those folks with your financial advisors, which I also agree you should be using. Hey, Duncan, thanks for being here today. Good job. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim. Happy holidays.
Duncan Richardson, folks, with Eaton Vance. Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.